Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad we all can join us once again. You know, I'm really excited to welcome back our next guest. Alan Klein is here with us today. He's an individual. I was just sharing with him before we went live here. I remember our very first conversation about his book, Mom's the Word. He's been on with us several times since then. We've discussed his book, The Art of Living Joyfully, another great book of his, Words of Love. And now he has a new book that I think you guys are going to really enjoy as well as appreciate. And that is simply, You Can't Ruin My Day. I love the fact that Alan has been able to not only share what are, I think, really inspiring stories, but remind us all of what's possible for us. The subtitle of the book is 52 Wake-Up Calls to Turn Any Situation Around. We'll talk to Alan about how he's been able to do that and what it's like for him to use the stories of others to be able to show other people what they can do in their lives. Alan, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me back. It's always such a joy to be here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I should mention the last time you were on, another book that we discussed was Always Look on the Bright Side, which I think is a great segue into this one. You Can't Ruin My Day. You know, when I first heard about you, you had a new book, Alan, I never know what to expect from you, but I do know that I'm going to leave the book smiling, and that's exactly what happened with the new book. You have become known for that. You become one of these people who will help people to turn their frowns upside down. What has that journey been like for you to see how you've been able to deal with life as it happens, but also how you've been able to show other people what they can do with their own lives, Alan?
Well, I think it's, you know, it all came out of what some people call a tragedy, and I think I've shared this before. My wife had a terminal illness when she was 31, and she died at 34. But we always laughed together, and we'd always say we'd make each other laugh. And I realized that, yes, that was a sad time in my life, but that we always have the choice. One, we always have a choice of how we look at any situation. Right. And the other, that she gave me an incredible gift of that laughter and humor and positive thinking that I felt I had to share with the world. And the really amazing thing to me, Cyrus, is that I almost failed speech in college. So to get up now in front of an audience, I mean, I've spoken as many as 1,500 people in an audience. So to get up and do that, it really surprises me. But I really feel I've been led to do this work by some higher power, some spirit. And so I do that knowing that I've been guided to do this work and help other people. And so I just keep doing that. It brings me pleasure, and I hear back from readers and people in my audience of how much they got out of what I'm doing, and it just nourishes me and keeps me going.
Yeah. I love the fact that even in the beginning of the book, I think it's in the foreword even, Alan, one of the things that's said by Christine Carlson there is that life is about perspective. And I thought about that for a while, and even as I was prepping for this segment, I think that's the thing that we all forget, that no matter if you may be having what may be considered a bad day to many, it really is about the way you choose to look at it. Has that been one of the great lessons of your life?
Oh, definitely has. And there's a funny story in the book that so illustrates that. And it's about two shoe salesmen that were headed to a remote part of a country, and they sent, it was the same situation, they got there and they both found that the people, nobody wore shoes in this area. And so one sent back a telegram at that time, there was no email, saying, you know, not a good territory to sell shoes, nobody wears any. And the other one sent back a telegram saying, great opportunity to sell shoes, no one here has any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same situation. You know, you could be in a traffic jam like with everyone else, and someone is singing, maybe memorizing a talk they're going to give, or doing their shopping list, or listening to a great tape or the radio, you know, and someone else is fuming because they're sitting there and they're not moving. Same situation. How do you react to it?
How do you react to it? You know, you mentioned to me before we went live here, you said, you know, this is a real book. And I think what is so interesting about this book versus the several books that you and I have discussed, you know, over the past visits on the program, is that before you've been able to kind of pull together the quotes of others and kind of show us, you know, how others have been able to not only see life differently, but also, of course, to be able to inspire people through their words. What was so different to me about You Can't Ruin My Day is that we get to really hear from you. I mean, was that an easy decision? Did it feel like it was time, Alan, for you to tell part of your story, but also share perspective?
Right. After the book was done, I realized this is like my whole life is in this book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's all the knowledge that I've gained over the years from losing not only my wife, but other, you know, we all have losses in our life.
Right.
And how looking back, and at the time they may not have, I may not have realized it, but looking back, how I didn't let anyone ruin my day, no matter what happened to me, and I pursued, and I got on top of it, and I moved forward, and so I put all of that together, and some of the ideas of how I did that, and of course, you know, stories really tell what I'm really talking about. So there's some great stories, not only for me, but other people. And then, of course, I'm the world's only jollytologist, so there's
right.
got to be some humor. So there's also, for each of those themes, each of those wake-up calls, there is a funny story.
Exactly. You write this in the book, In Dealing with Your Own Loss and Perspective, Alan. You write this: after we experience a loss, we tend to focus on what we no longer have. As a result, we focus our energy on the negative or what is missing in our life rather than on the positive or all of those wonderful things we still have. You go on to say this, and I think this is one of the great things, and you reference your wife in this, Alan, and I think our listeners will really appreciate this. Being grateful for what remains after you have experienced a loss can be a powerful way to deal with and heal that loss. Turning your attention on how your life was enriched because that person was in it, for example, rather than on the vacuum the loss created, is a powerful and healthy approach to confronting grief. After my wife died at the age of 34, my thoughts, as often experienced by someone who is grieving, sometimes turn to darker questions like, why is this happening to me? Or how can I go on with my life without her? But then you say this: grief also brought up a feeling of emptiness, depression, and hopelessness. Gratitude has the power to help those in mourning rise above their loss. It is life-affirming. It can provide hope. And perhaps most important, it can help us let go of the past and focus on the abundance that's around us now. So my question to you is, Alan, how did you make that progression to go from grief to gratitude?
Well, I just, you know, it was really sad. I mean, my wife was 34. I had a 10-year-old daughter at the time.
Right.
But I think pretty much afterwards, you know, I said to my daughter a couple of months later, I said, we need to get a perspective here. We need to get away from this. We've been dealing with this for 3 years. And so I booked a trip to Alaska. We went on the Inside Passage. We had a little boat by the glaciers. We went on a seaplane ride. We saw puffins. We saw whales. And I realized, looking back, that was just intuitive, that I needed to spend more time with my daughter and to be with her, comfort her, and also have an incredible experience. And so it was, and it showed me that in spite of loss, there is joy all around. I mean, my daughter, we still talk about the puffin. She had never seen a puffin before, and I had never seen one that close. Those cute little, the birds with the bright colors, and,
right.
You know, just made me realize there is joy all around, and it's really up to me. We always have a choice. Do I focus on the loss, or do I focus on what I still have left in my life, which was my daughter, my work, my house, my friends, and that I could get on with my life? And so I just start looking at that. I mean, again, that choice. I was looking at that more than what I did not have. And I think loss also in anything, whether you lose your job or whatever it is, you dent the car, that's a loss too, whatever. You have the choice. How are you going to look at this? And, you know, could it be a lesson? My wife taught me that we're here for a short amount of time on earth. We don't know when it's going to be the end of our own life, and that we need to enjoy every single moment. And so it was a process. that I just started to just, I don't know why, you know, I don't know why I was chosen to do this and write about it, but I was, and I just one day, it took one day at a time, but just start looking at the all the wonderful things in my life instead of, you know, look, the old saying, looking at the glass is half full rather than half empty.
Exactly. And I think, too, the other thing about this book, and as I said, it goes back to what Christine says in the foreword, Ellen, about perspective, is that there probably one of the biggest surprises for me when I was reading the book came in wake-up call number 28, and the chapter is Be Kind, and I want to talk to you about that. But before we do that, I want to kind of reset for those who may have come in late and tell you, for those joining us online or on the radio side, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome back to our program best-selling author Ellen Klein. We're discussing his new book, You Can't Ruin My Day. It's a great affirmation for all of us to pick up, and we're talking to him not only about the journey of writing the book, but the 52 wake-up calls that he gives us as well. In that wake-up call, you actually begin it with Wayne Dyer's quote, "How people treat you is their karma, how you react is yours." And the thing about what you write in this one, Ellen, that really got me was the way that we look at people who are going around being dark, being angry, and everything. And you say this, and this really made me stop and think. So the next time some negative aspect of someone annoys you, when someone yells at you or makes you angry, when someone says or does something you don't like, remember that you probably have those same traits within you, or you would not have noticed it in them. The best you can do in that situation, therefore, is to be kind to them, because on some level, you are just like them. What was that like for you to come to that realization about the way that we see others?
Well, I took a class. I don't remember which class it was, and we did that exercise. And I realized that that is so true, that I would not see it in someone else if I didn't have it within me, no matter what it is. It could be joy. It could be anger, you know. But and then in that chapter, I talk about using that exercise in a weekend retreat I did with burn survivors. And how powerful that was to watch burn survivors. I showed them a film about another burn survivor, and then I asked them, you know, what qualities did you see in that video in that person? And they talked about being joyous, because that person was, about being physically able to do maybe not 10%, but they could still do 90%, how courageous they were. And they all start realizing that they had some of those same qualities, and they never realized it. They never thought they did. And so it was a powerful exercise, but it also helped me realize, you know, when I'm angry at someone else, I have that within me, or I see someone else angry. I have that within me, or I wouldn't recognize that.
So when you share something like that, I mean, it's one thing to read it in the book. When you're able to share something like that and you see the light bulb goes off, is that kind of an affirming factor for you, Ellen, that you've done exactly what you wanted to do with this book and by sharing your story the way you have?
Well, you know, writing is a lonely business. You sit here right now in front of the computer or paper, however people write, and it's pretty lonely. You're there with your thoughts. You're there with the paper or the computer, and you really don't know. You know, I try to come from my heart and write what I feel that people will be attracted to, but you really don't know until you start getting feedback from people how it has totally changed their life. I remember one of the former books you're talking about with the quotations. I got a letter from a woman in Kentucky. You know, I don't know her. She read the book. It was a quote she found in one of the book about taking back your power. She wrote me a 2-page letter saying, "I read this quote about taking back your power, and I've got to tell you, for 55 years, I've given away my power because I was raped when I was a teenager, and I had not told anyone for 55 years. I've been living with that and never having told anyone." Wow. And she said, "It is totally, to go with this book, it's totally ruined my day every single day. And now I've read that quote about power, I've taken it back, and I have such a great day every day now. I've forgiven those people. It's been a long time ago, and I've moved on with my life. And thank you so much for writing that. You never know, you know, how you're going to react, how people are going to react to what you write.
Exactly. And I think that has to be one of the powerful things about it. Another powerful wake-up call in the book, and I love the fact that you've given them those titles, because it really is that for me when I was reading it, Alan, and that was wake-up call number 31, forget what you know. This is a big one, and it ties into a conversation I had with a guest recently about, in fact, it was Bob Proctor. We were talking about his new book, and he made a comment in his book about the danger of being right or feeling though we have to be right. But you write this in the book, in that particular part under the wake-up call, forget what you know. And this is, again, another great lesson for our listeners to be able to take in. You don't have to be right all the time, you write, Alan. You don't have to have all the answers, and you probably never will. The truth is that the highest form of knowing is actually not knowing, because it leaves the door open to all kinds of possibilities and discoveries. And I thought about that with you and the success you've been able to have with these books and with your speaking. Do you think that has been the key to the success, as we see it at least, the success you've been able to have, that you remain open to what is ahead?
Oh, I think it's not only success, but to life, just remain open. I mean, who would have thought when my wife died and I almost failed speech in college that I would be a professional speaker, you know, for the last 20-some-odd years? Who knew that when I was in a grade school writing a poem for the school paper that I'd have written 25 books? I mean, you just – I think so many people don't – you know, they're not open. They don't listen to what the universe is telling them, and – they try to struggle against stuff, and it's not right for them. I mean, I belong to an authors group, and just this woman, just yesterday, we had our monthly meeting, and she was saying, you know, she had a business, she likes doing watercolors, she has a greeting card business, and it just wasn't, and she's also an author, it wasn't going well. Things weren't going well. And all of a sudden, as soon as she realized that maybe this is not what she's supposed to be doing at this time, all these doors opened. She now got a full-time job that she really likes. She realized she can still do watercolors at night. She now has a paycheck regularly, and she was really struggling with that. But she had to come to a place where, you know, like this light bulb went off and saying, I need to move on. This is not working. So I think when we're open, I mean, after my wife died, I gave up a business I had because I realized something told me I was supposed to be doing more with my life than working at the silkscreen business that I owned. I didn't know what it was, but then all of a sudden this catalog came by with Life Death Transition Institute, and I became involved with that, and I became a hospice volunteer and home health care aide, and I just kept being open to what was next, and suddenly it led me to this career as professional speaker and writer. So I think you need to stay tuned, and I think one of the ways to do that is sit quietly. You know, there's so much noise in our world, news, TV going. Just tune in, sit quietly for a little while and ask yourself whatever that question is. What am I supposed to be doing now? What is, you know, when I wrote the first book, I just said, you know, what's going to happen with this book? And the answer I got, I still remember, was you cannot imagine the influence that book is going to have on the world. And of course, now The Healing Power of Humor is in a 40th printing in 9th language. I couldn't imagine that, but my inner guide said, just do it and you'll see what happens. You know, build it and they will come.
Yeah, that is so true. So true. Is that not? I tell people about my field of dream moments all the time, Al. I say that all the time.
Good.
Because I think that is really the key. If you do the work, it's going to happen and you won't have to worry. Just do your part. And I think another thing in our online audience, of course, they're seeing that great photo of you, of course, with the clown nose on. And it ties into another great wake-up call in the book about being light. You know, I think this is something I wrestle with, I have to say. My friends will tell you my sense of humor is not very good. I am, you know, I probably take myself a lot more seriously than I should. I'm learning how to lighten up. But that's one of the things that you actually address in the book about the importance of keeping it light, the importance of not taking ourselves too seriously. Do you see some ways that has been life-saving for you?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of an example now, but, you know, just going back to my wife's death, I just, you know, it's a very serious time, but I also,
right.
you know, started to lighten up, and because of her sense of humor and her showing me that even in those difficult days that we could find something to laugh about a little bit, it led me to a whole new career and helped me to get through that difficult time. I have a little, you know, since I'm the world's only Jollytologist, each of the themes, each of the wake-up calls has to have a lighten-up section.
Yeah.
So if you just bear with me a minute, I'll read the one in the light, one of the wake-up calls, and it's...
Sure.
If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you're probably the family dog.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. When I remember reading that, I said to myself, he lost me when he said, start the day off without coffee.
Yeah, it's hard, but, you know, one of the things you should try, doing something different than you always do. It that's kind of a, I don't have that as a wake-up call, but
yeah.
I do realize, like, if you're left-handed, write with your right hand. You have coffee every day, you have tea instead. It just kind of kicks you a little bit and maybe makes you appreciate coffee more, whatever. But, you know, we get into ruts, and I think then people go, yeah, I'm having a rotten day, but you're in a rut. And I think some of those things can help you get out of that rut and enjoy life more.
You know what? I am going to do that. Tomorrow, I'm going to have, instead of my regular 2 cups of coffee, I'm going to have 1 cup of coffee and 1 cup of hot tea.
Okay. And if you have a rotten day, don't call. Don't call me.
I won't. But I will send you a tweet and say, hey, Alan, I tried it, and this is what happened.
It didn't work.
Hey, well, no, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say it's
okay,
going to work
good.
Out just fine. Yeah, it's going to work out just fine for sure.
Great.
Alan,
I know
Alan,
it will.
Yeah, another great conversation with you. Again, everyone, Alan Klein has been back with us. Always great to be able to speak with him. And he does not disappoint each time he comes on the program. You have to get his new book. It is one that I know will be able to help you. The title, You Can't Ruin My Day. And if that is the affirmation that we say to ourselves each and every day, I think we will all be a whole lot better off. Alan, how can our listeners stay connected with you? I know the book's available wherever books are sold, as well as through Amazon.com. But how can they stay connected with you and what's coming up next for you?
Go to my website, www.alanklein.com, and they do have to spell my both names right. That's AllenKlein.com.
All right, so stay connected with Alan for sure. Alan, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Thank you. You are always a joy to talk to. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate that. And we appreciate you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. I want to thank our good friends at Viva Editions as well, not only for publishing a great book, but also setting up this conversation for us today. If you all came in late and missed part of the conversation with Alan, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites. We've tagged Alan both on Facebook and Twitter through our page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.